B-Pod Studios.
Ladies and gentlemen, to answer some of our questions here about the NBA and some other things going on with the 76ers, we have the great Keith Pompey joining us here on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast from Inquire.com. Keith Pompey. Hey, Keith.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's up, Keith?
Where do you stand on blue cheese or ranch dressing for hot wings?
Oh, man.
Because I was told they're only going to have one in the NBA bubble, so you have to make a decision. It's on the questionnaire.
I don't know. I'm trying to watch my weight, so I leave both of them alone. But I guess the ranch, if I had to do it, I guess the ranch. But I'm scared to say that because I came in at the end, and I heard y'all making fun of the ninjas. So which one should they use?
They use the ranch. They drink bottles of ranch dressing for breakfast, Keith. The Yinzers.
Yeah.
Well, now, wait a second.
You know I went to Pitt, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He knows all about the Yinzers.
So, like, they used to have, it was this restaurant, and on Tuesday, it was like 10-cent wings or something like that. And the line was, like, always around the corner. It was crazy. Like, I don't think I've ever was able to get in there and get some wings. That's because, like, on Tuesdays, they were just killing them out there.
Those were the best nights in college. Anything was 10 cents, line out the door. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Keith, are you going to Orlando? What's the deal here, man? What's happening?
I believe I am. I mean, I was told to make plans to go to Orlando. The thing is, it's going to be different because they're going to have, like, different tiers. They're going to have tier one, which is inside the bubble. And if the finals go to seven games, you have to commit to being in there for 91 days, at least 91 days. And they only have 10 slots available for media members. And that's mostly going to be national media. So I don't think I'm going to do that. But what they'll also have is they'll have outside the bubble, to whereas they'll allow you in the arena on game days, and you get to cover the games and stuff like that. But you're not going to be quarantined, you know, like the other media members, like the 10 people in there. Now, again, they'll be inside. They'll be able to go to practice, see the last 15 minutes of practice. They won't be allowed to get anywhere near close to the players, though. And what they're permitted to do is, of course, they'll be in a hotel room. They'll get tested daily. They'll be allowed to, go to the practice facility and to the arena. But, it's not one of those things where, you know, you're going to be mingling with the players, so to speak.
Now, is everything pretty much going to be done through Zoom for press conferences?
Yeah, but see, the people who are going to be inside the bubble, let's say if you're inside the bubble, you get to get like, and not really one-on-ones. You may be able to get like one or two questions asked, you know, if the player says he wants to do it. But that's one of those things you have to put that in writing, so to speak, or put a request in like 24 hours, before it happens.
Mm. That's interesting.
Do you have any hesitations, Keith? Like, do you, I know you have to do it. It's your job. You and I have been there. But is there any hesitations with all the news that's coming about?
Cooney, you know me. I'm a weird dude. Like,
oh, I know that.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys. I mean, I am, but at the same time, I'm a little bit, but at the same time, I figure out, like, if I do what I'm supposed to do, and, the place that I'm going to get is going to kind of sort of be sort of like an apartment, so where I can go out and get groceries and just stay in there. But I feel like if I do whatever I'm supposed to do, I should be fine. You know, I'm not in that age. I'm too old now to go out to the clubs and make it rain and do bottle service and all that other stuff. So, I think that I'll be all right. At least I hope that I'll be all right.
Is your wife listening right now? Is that why you're saying that? Because you can party, man. You ain't that old. You ain't old.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you more when she goes downstairs.
Look at you playing it all cool, Keith Pompey, you smooth operator. Keith, here's the thing. When we talk to, or when we listen to these players, and we listen to Brett Brown, and we certainly heard Ben Simmons yesterday, everything sounds great. Like, I liken it to an artist, a musician, hitting all the right notes. They're saying all the right things.
Yeah.
What's the real expectations for the Sixers team? Are you expecting some kind of evolved Ben Simmons with a comfortable jump shot? Are you expecting Brett Brown to push the right buttons, Joel Embiid to be in shape? What are your expectations before they head down to Orlando?
You know, it's weird because, like, you are right, and I was thinking about that this morning, that everyone says, it's like every preseason, everyone is great, you know what I mean? We figured it out. You know, I'm expecting to see the Ben Simmons that we saw, you know, before he was injured, like a guy who was, you know, comfortable, you know, playing on the ball, but mostly playing off the ball and you know, being the quarterback of the gym, like Brett likes to say, from the high post. You know, I look forward to seeing Shake Milton, you know, in that starting lineup with him. That's what I expect. The thing about Joel in regards to his health and shape, to me, that's to be seen. Now, again, I get it. We all been hearing six, you know, he's been working out hard. You know, Brett's been saying what type of shape he's in. He's in the best shape. But it just seems like we've heard that rhetoric before. And I'm not, like, saying they're not being truthful. But what I am saying is, you know, it got to a point now where we all want to see it for ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, it all sounds great, but we want to see it for ourselves. And Brett Brown, I mean, that's also the unknown. Now, the one thing I will say is that, you know, all season they kept pushing the expectations back, or, okay, well, we'll find out in December. We'll find out with the playoffs. And they're saying this team is built for the playoffs. I know it's been a break, but we'll find out now what's going to happen. But if you really want to talk about reality, there's two things that has to happen to me. This team has not been able to gel. There's a lot of pressure on this team because this team was a favorite to go to the finals. So if they don't get out of the second round, at least out of the second round, it's going to be a huge failure. Not just on the players, not just on Brown, but also the front office, because they assembled this roster. And in regards to Brett Brown, you know, he's basically coaching for his job. You know, so there's a lot to be said. And then Ben Simmons, I think that for him is about legacy. You know, the thing about Ben is he's a two-time All-Star. He plays great in the regular season, but his last two appearances in the second round of the playoffs didn't go well at all for him on the offensive end. And, you know, I think he wants to get that monkey off his back, so to speak, and he doesn't want to be labeled as a guy who comes up short in the second round of the playoffs when his team needs him the most. So to me, yes, they are saying a lot of great things, the things you expect them to say, but the stuff that I just mentioned, to me, that's the reality, and those are the things that we need to, you know, pay close attention to.
Keith, we agree that 1 and 1A is, however order you want to put it in, is Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. But for this team to be successful, not only in these 8 games, whatever, but in this, more specifically the playoffs, give me a dark horse on this team that you think will have to really come through and you think may be able to come through to help this team advance to those rounds that you talked about.
You know, it's crazy because there's a lot of players that you can say. Like, you can say, okay, I need Tobias Harris to step up. I need him to do this and that. But I also think it's going to come down to Al Horford. You know, Al Horford. See, the thing about basketball, and I'm saying this to you, like you don't know because you know you do. The thing about it is, especially in the NBA, and you know more so than me, you want to close out with your best players, your best 5 players. And you gave Al Horford all that money for him to be the backup center, right? Now, when you close out, you need your best 5 on the court, and they need for him to play well because it doesn't make any sense to have him sitting on the bench. And I think if they can figure out a way, they don't have to start him, but I think they need to close out with him. And if they can figure out a way to get him and Joel Embiid to play together and to excel within the last 6 minutes of a game, I think they will be okay. If they can't, I think that they're going to struggle. Now, you can also say for some things, Tobias Harris needs to hit shots. You know, last year in the playoffs, Tobias was good in the first half. You know, I don't know if it was a matter of not being more involved in the offense or just fading away, but he struggled a little bit in the fourth quarters. You know, Shake Milton, you know, he's going to have to show if the stuff that he did is legit, or if he can produce, because, you know, you expect the tempo to be a little bit higher. And then Josh Richardson, is he going to absolutely be that glue guy? So, but I honestly think that it's going to come down to Al. They have to make it work with him and Joel, especially late in games and closeouts.
Can you speak? Oh, go ahead, Bob.
Well, just on that real quick with Al Horford, do you think with the way the amount of games that they're playing in so little time, there is going to be some load management on Joel Embiid, maybe playing 5 of the 8 or 6 of the 8, and therefore Horford will get his, you know, get the rust off minutes in that starting center role?
Yeah, I mean, and to me, that's not a concern. Like, when you have Al out there as a starting center and Joel isn't there, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, I see what the Sixers were thinking about.
Right.
You know, Al looks good. The problem comes, like, basically when it's him, Joel, and Ben on the floor together. And the reason being is because, you know, you don't really have anyone stretching the floor. You may say, okay, Joel, you can go out in the perimeter and float around, but then you have Al and Ben taking up the space together. So when you have all three, that's the problem. And what has to happen is you have to, I mean, again, I don't expect Joel to play all 8 games. I don't expect Al to play all 8 games either. But what I would like to see to make me feel more comfortable about their chances is seeing successful extended minutes with Joel, Al, and Ben on the floor together. You know what I mean? Because it just looks like Al is Dario Saric 2.0, where he's out there jacking threes and they just don't fall.
Yeah, it's certainly not something we need from him right now. I want to switch gears for a second, Keith, because you wrote an article about someone that I've actually met a couple of times, Yanni Coleman, who was a former Sixer dancer. I believe she was off the squad in 2016 was her last season with the team, and she accused other dance members, dance teammates, of racism, shaming her, body shaming her, and all that. And you wrote an article on Inquirer.com. What are you making of this story so far?
I don't know. I mean, it's a tough one just because, you know, basically what I wrote was the information was out there, you know, and the Sixers put a statement out there. And, you know, I don't know, like, you know her. I don't really know her. I don't know the other ladies. I know it's a bad look. But in regards to me, you know, speaking more in depth about the situation, it's hard for me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because I don't really know them.
Understood.
Sense?
Yeah, understood. Yeah. Understood. Yeah. And I know you were just touching on this with Bob, but back to the X's and O's of everything here. Shake Milton all but guaranteed a starting spot.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. I mean, the reason being is because I think at this particular time, right now, and you still got to work on getting Al in the mix and getting him and Joel playing better. But I think Shake has proven that he deserves to be out there. And secondly, that's the easiest fix, especially when you want Ben Simmons in the playoffs, you know, taking advantage of his strengths and playing in the high post, being a point forward, so to speak. So I think that's the easiest mix. Shake is a pretty good, well, a solid 3-point shooter. So I think that enables them to stretch the floor, declog some things. So I think that, you know, right now that's the easiest and it's the best fix for them.
Did the wife go downstairs yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's going on down the bubble? No, I'm just kidding. All right. Keith, thanks so much for coming on with us, man. We really appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll talk to you before you head down there. But in the meantime, you know, try to enjoy your 4th of July weekend, my friend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.